The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Amen. Amen.
When the going gets rough, people sometimes retreat into history. And they refer longingly to a time when things were better, a whole lot better than they are today. Now, sometimes this attitude is simply generational. Older people can't help pointing out to the younger folk that the world is going to rack and to ruin, when maybe it's just their own bodies that are going to rack and to ruin. But sometimes, a little more seriously, people mean such reflections more earnestly. Certain places, certain periods seem to have produced a generation of powerful leaders, heroes maybe, whose accomplishments become standards by which all subsequent ages are measured and found lacking. If we could only be like them, we think, well, then everything would be just fine. Now, in the church, this kind of escapism surfaces, I think, when contemporary challenges are most threatening. Out of fear, disgust, or just plain weariness, we long for some previous era of time that did not have the same afflictions. I mean, maybe it was the era of the Reformation, or maybe it was the early church, or maybe just the 1930s, when at least the Missouri Synod was unified in doctrine and practice. Or was it? Not hardly. Longing for a golden age might be natural, but belief in one cannot survive historical investigation, especially and including the history of the church, as the New Testament documents make abundantly clear. Now, if there were ever going to be a golden age for Christianity, certainly the time of the apostles would offer the best opportunity. After all, they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They were the authoritative teachers of the church. They were the ones whom the Lord himself had chosen. And yet, what do the New Testament documents reveal about the state of the church in the apostolic era? Well, not just terrible persecution from the outside, but pernicious division within, caused by all kinds of circumstances, but not the least of them, false teachers. Our Lord warns of them in the Gospels, "Beware of false prophets," he said. And everywhere the apostles went after the ascension, false teachers were right on their heels. Paul complained of them, John complained of them, and here, Peter. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now, this is the first century of the Christian era. It's not even a full generation after the resurrection, and already the church is under attack from false prophets. Hardly a golden era. And there never has been one. Now, of course, this is not to say that history stays the same. There's a lot that's different between today and previous eras. I mean, this is most obvious in assessing the material basis of our civilization. We have a lot more stuff than anyone has ever had before. But you know, it's also true in terms of how we think, how we make sense of the world. I mean, today we look for solutions to problems in science and technology. People other times, other places, look for help from spiritual forces. They look for direct interventions from the beyond to alleviate the challenges of living. So, ways of thinking do change. And so do social organizations. Economic arrangements, value systems. The passing of the centuries has seen enormous changes in all of these aspects of the human experience, and others as well. I mean, I dare say from the fine arts to personal hygiene, things change. Nonetheless, in spite of all that change, no one has yet experienced a golden age. Today we may live in an era of material plenty, but every Christian recognizes it also as a time of terrible moral decadence. And the false teachers against whom Peter warned almost 2,000 years ago are still all too evident. For there are certain realities which human nature cannot escape, no matter how much time elapses, no matter how different the circumstances. Now, the apostle does not provide a lot of detail about what these false teachers taught, but he does refer to their sensuality, their defiling passion. He compares them to the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah and says that they count it pleasure to revel in the daytime. They have eyes full of adultery, insatiable for sin. They entice unsteady souls. They have hearts trained in greed. And then later he adds, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. Now, in an era of no-fault divorce, legalized sodomy, and pornography of every sort available on your cell phone, Peter's warning could have been written today, especially since organized Christianity is indifferent to most of it and has actually endorsed some of the worst excesses. False teachers are still with us, and in this case, they provide a theological rationale for the sins of the flesh. Now, as Luther demonstrated so effectively in the Reformation, not just the sixth commandment, but the entire Ten Commandments, given centuries earlier to Moses, remain valid in his day just as they do in our own. Circumstances change, yes, but human nature does not. In their weakness, fallibility, corruption, sin, human beings are still the same. And that's why the false teachers who appeal in one way or another to our weaknesses, whether to our sensuality or to our self-righteousness, to our greed or pride or any one of innumerable perennial sins, well, they find a receptive audience. They find a willing set of dupes, oh so ready to exchange the truth for the pathway of self-indulgence. But you know, that's exactly why our Lord included the sixth and the seventh petitions in the prayer that would accompany Christians in every age. For with all of our frailties, and in the midst of all kinds of temptations, we have only one hope, and that hope is God, the God who has undergone trial and temptation for us, the God who was tempted in the wilderness and overcame the devil, the God who experienced physical deprivation and indeed even death in order to pay for our sins of self-indulgence. Now, false teachers deal in lies. They are peddlers of deceit, and they send people to hell. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the truth, who by his saving life and atoning death forgives the fallen, strengthens the weak, and gives life to the dead. So a golden age may sound good and be ever so appealing, but there isn't one. And you know what? We don't need one either. We have something better. We have Jesus. Jesus, who is mighty to save from the power of sin, death, and the devil. Jesus, who is our Savior, right here and right now. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.